Well, you know, on Wednesday nights for the last couple of months, we've been taking this as an opportunity to equip you to reach people in your world, and we've talked about a lot of different things, but tonight I have something particularly for you that what I'm going to share with you tonight are basically two things from Jesus, two things that I see with Jesus, two things I want to share with you that Jesus left, two things that he highlighted just before he left the earth, and he highlighted as things that I believe are necessary for us to fulfill the ministry he's given us as believers. Now, as you know, every believer has a ministry. Every person who's called on the name of the Lord, that person, because we've received so much, because God has come and lived within us and is, you know, taken on flesh in us, he wants to use us as his ministers, as his representatives. He wants to use our bodies, use our mouths, our voice, our influence, everything that we are. He wants to use it in this world to reach people, to love people, to heal people, to bring forth his goodness, his power, to show forth his glory in the earth. You know this. And so and to that end, part of our job description, according to Ephesians 4, is that we're supposed to equip you to do that. We're supposed to give you tools that you need, help you get set in the place in order to do that, give you knowledge and information, give you practical training. We've done all these things, and we'll continue to do these things. But tonight, I just want to take a moment and talk about these two things that I see in a passage of Scripture here. And just, I believe it's important as we move into this new year, these are some things that are going to be critical for us. And so, both of these things. And so, I just want to do that. Now, as you know, those of you who've been here for our discovery studies, you know that we spend a lot of time reading passages of Scripture and then rereading them and then telling them, right? So we aren't just reading verses and like la-di-da-di. We're actually trying to see what they say. So we're going to do that tonight. I'm going to read through it first, and then I need a couple of volunteers because we're going to actually read in three translations. So if you feel like you're a pretty good reader and you're comfortable reading in front of a group, I'll call on you and you can come up and you can read. And then we'll try to retell the story together. Y'all okay with that? And then we'll go move on into the teaching, but that's how we'll do it. We're going to, if you have a Bible, turn to John chapter 13, and we're also going to be running it on the screen above. John chapter 13, and good to see all of y'all. John chapter 13, verse 1, it says, I'll go ahead and read it. Now, before the feast of Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And supper being ended, this is the time of what we call the Last Supper. That's the supper it's referring to. And the supper being ended, the devil, having already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, he rose from supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel, and girded himself. And after that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. And then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, "Lord, are you washing my feet?" And Jesus answered and said to him, What I am doing you do not understand now, but you will know after this." And so Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." And Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me." So Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Boy, Peter could turn on a dime. I'm not going to let you wash anything. Oh, wash everything. So he really likes that. Okay, verse 10. Jesus said to him, "He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you." For he knew who would betray him. Therefore he said, "You are not all clean." He's referring to Judas. Verse 12. So when he had washed their feet, taken his garments, and sat down again, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, 'Well, for so I am.' If then your Lord and teacher have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I've given you an example that you should do as I've done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." That's a long passage, but I wanted to read it. And we're going to talk about some of the things in there. We're going to read it again. This time we're going to read it in the New Living Translation. And if I can have a volunteer that would like to read it. All righty. I like it. And come up here. You can read my version because I'm reading from the New Living. If you don't have the New Living, you can follow along on the screen. All right, there you go. I'm going to read there.
So before the Passover celebration.
Is this on?
Yep.
Should be. There you go.
Testing.
You're good. Okay.
Before the Passover celebration, Jesus knew that his hour had come to leave this world and return to the Father. He had loved his disciples during his ministry on earth, and now he loved them to the very end. It was time for supper, and the devil had already prompted Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had given him authority over everything, and that he had come from God and would return to God. So he got up from the table, took off his robe, wrapped a towel around his waist, and poured water into a basin. Then he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel he had around him. When Jesus came to Simon Peter, Peter said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not understand now what I am doing, but someday you will." "No," Peter protested, "you will never wash my feet." Jesus replied, "Unless I wash you, you won't belong to me." Simon Peter exclaimed, "Then wash my hands and my head as well, Lord, not just my feet." Jesus replied, "A person who has bathed all over does not need to wash except for the feet, to be entirely clean. And you disciples are clean, but not all of you." For Jesus knew who would betray him. That is what he meant when he said, "Not all of you are clean." After washing their feet, he put on his robe again and sat down and asked, "Do you understand what I was doing? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, because that's what I am. And since I am your Lord and teacher, since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you. I tell you the truth, slaves are not greater than their master, nor is the messenger more important than the one who sends the message. Now that you know these things, God will bless you for doing them."
Amen. Praise God. Do I have another reader who will read? Okay, good job. Neil is a teacher by profession and an English teacher. You teach other things probably too. Okay. Oh, I got to get the right translation. I'm going to read it in the Passion Translation. Do you use that over there, Neil?
Yes, my friend introduced me to that, and I love it.
Okay, there you go.
Jesus knew that the night before Passover would be his last night on earth before leaving this world to return to the Father's side. All throughout his time with his disciples, Jesus had demonstrated a deep and tender love for them. And now he longed to show them the full measure of his love. Before their evening meal had begun, the accuser had already planted betrayal into the heart of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. Now Jesus was fully aware that the Father had placed all things under his control, for he had come from God and was about to go back to be with him. So he got up from the meal and took off his outer robe and took a towel and wrapped it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' dirty feet and dry them with his towel. But when Jesus got to Simon Peter, he objected and said, "I can't let you wash my dirty feet. You're my Lord." Jesus replied, "You don't understand yet the meaning of what I'm doing, but soon it will be clear to you." Peter looked at Jesus and said, "You'll never wash my dirty feet, never." "But Peter, if you don't allow me to wash your feet," Jesus responded, "then you will not be able to share life with me." So Peter said, "Lord, in that case, don't just wash my feet, wash my hands and my head too." Jesus said to him, "You are already clean. You've been washed completely and you just need your feet to be cleansed. But that can't be said of all of you," for Jesus knew which one was about to betray him, and that's why he told them that not all of them were clean. After washing their feet, he put his robe on and returned to his place at the table. "Do you understand what I just did?" Jesus said. "You've called me your teacher and Lord, and you're right, for that's who I am. So if I'm your teacher and Lord and have just washed your dirty feet, then you should follow the example that I've set for you and wash one another's dirty feet. Now do for each other what I have just done for you. I speak to you a timeless truth. A servant is not superior to his master, and an apostle is never greater than the one who sent him. So now put into practice what I have done for you, and you will experience a life of happiness enriched with untold blessings."
Amen. Thank you, sir. Very good. So let's see if we can retell this without looking at it so much. Anybody want to take a stab at getting us going here? What do we see first? it was the Feast of Passover. And so what did Jesus know about this night? One of his disciples were going to betray him. He did know that. He was what? He was about to go back to the Father, return to his Father's side, absolutely. And what had he done the whole time he'd been with his disciples? He loved them. He demonstrated this continuous love for them. And so, then before this evening meal, already Judas had this in his heart that he was gonna, the devil had planted this thing in his heart. So, now, there's a lot here. Then what happened? What did Jesus do? But what did, yes, he did. What was that example? What did he do? He took his clothes off. He did. He took his outer robe off. And he got a basin and a towel, tied it around. And then what happened? He started washing their feet. And then what happened? Something curious happened while he was washing their feet. Peter, what did Peter do? Peter objected. Said, you'll never wash my feet. And then what did Jesus say to him? You won't have any part of me. You're not going to be able to share my life if you don't. Okay? And then what did Peter say? Wash it all. Okay. We got that part. Okay. So, and then Jesus said to him what? You're already washed and you don't need me to wash all of you. You're clean. Just need your feet washed. And then he mentioned about somebody's unclean here. We're not going into that now. He kept throwing off on Judas there a little bit. And then he sat down after he did that and put in his robe. And then what did he say to them? Tom, you just mentioned that. What did he say to them? That this is an example to you. He said, what I'm doing here is an example. And then what else did he tell them? Said that? Dane? Yes, you should be washing each other's feet. I think in this translation, I've just washed your dirty feet, and now you should follow the example I've set for you and wash one another's dirty feet. I like that. And then he said, basically, a servant is not superior to his master, and the one who sent is not superior to the one who sent him. And then he told him, do this. That admonition to do this, which is part of what we've been talking about a lot in the last few months, is about it's not enough to see the example, it's not enough to see the word, to have a revelation, to hear a scripture, to read a scripture, hear a message. It's about doing it. So that's really important here. Another time Jesus is talking to him about put into practice, do what you've seen me do. Now, let's dig around a little in this, and let me bring out these two things I want to talk to you about tonight. So let's go back to the beginning, the verse 1. And it says, before the Feast of Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come. And it says that in verse 1. And then down in verse 3, it says this, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and then it went on and said these things. So, here we are, we're at the Last Supper. Jesus has gathered his apostles, or his disciples at this point. And these are his followers, the men he had chosen to walk with him through his earthly ministry. They've been with him about 3.5 years now. They've lived with him. They've slept with him. They've eaten with him. They've been with him now. And let's just take a moment and let's recall some of these guys. They were Simon the Zealot, who's like a big political activist, a Zionist. He's all about restoring the kingdom. And then you got, you know, the four fishermen, Peter, John, James, and Andrew. And, you know, you have all the Matthew the tax collector. You got this different array of people that have come from different walks of life. And they had between them, they had some squabbles from time to time. They had disagreements. They had competition. We see those things. So they were a group of people, just like if today we gathered up 12 men and we tried to bring them along, they would have some squabbles. They would have some things between them. You know, I don't know. We're not going to have testimonies right now, but you just went through the holidays with your family. I don't know if you were together a whole lot, but that's a good opportunity for a little disagreement. In fact, Matt and I were at lunch today, and just interrupting my little story here. We were at lunch today, and the waitress, Matt, said, oh, Happy New Year. How are your holidays? I mean, this is meant to be a pleasantry. You understand? You're supposed to say, fine, how were yours? But no, this woman like launched into this whole thing that happened in her house. It was story after story. It was her 16-year-old daughter. It was some in-law people. It was this other thing that happened. Somebody was sick. There was a big dog involved. I mean, like, I didn't want to know any of that. And there was nothing we could do about it except go, oh my. But so I really hate hearing stories that I can't, you know, respond to in any meaningful way. But my point is, people get together even you know, in the best of circumstances, and there's room for chafing and drama and misunderstanding, right? Okay, so that's how they were. And we saw different times of that in this 3.5-year period of them walking together. But now Jesus is about to leave. Okay, and as he's about to leave, in these verses, it mentions how he knew things. He knew, first of all, that his hour had come, and he knew that the Father had given all things to him. And somehow or another, when I was reading this, that word knew, that Jesus knew these things, kept sticking out to me. So I did a little studying on that word knew, or know. And that word appears various places all through the New Testament. And it's an interesting word because it's not just know like you have knowledge of. It's a know where you've seen something and then you know it because you've seen it, you know? And it's like many of us here tonight, we know of, you know, the assassination of John F. Kennedy. But that happened before most of us were born. And so we know about it because we've been told about it. But, you know, there are people alive tonight that were there when that happened. And they know about it because they saw it. And maybe you were watching TV that day. I don't know if it was televised, the motorcade from Dallas. I don't know. But, you know, there were people that didn't have knowledge of it because they saw it. In our family, we like to play games, and we don't like to play games of chance as much as we like to play games of knowledge. And we like to play trivia. And it really gripes the children when they play trivia games with Matt and me, because Matt and I know a lot of trivia. Not because we read trivia books or we study trivia, but Robert, I'm sure you can relate to this. We know a lot of trivia just because we've lived. Isn't it true? I mean, there are a lot of things I didn't read in a book and learn somewhere. I just know it because I was alive then. And I, you know, I actually was alive when Nixon was impeached. And I remember watching the Watergate hearings. So I didn't just study about it in a book. But, you know, Grace, you would have to study about it in a book because you weren't alive then. You see what I mean? So there are just a lot of things that you know because you saw them, you experienced them. And there's other things you just learn about. Well, Jesus, it says here, he knew these things that were happening, not because, you know, he read them in the book, but because he saw them. And I think I just want to camp right here a little bit about me and you and our lives. Jesus right here is talking about the final moments, the final days of his life and what's about to happen. God's plan for him. Do y'all know God has a plan for you? He's got a purpose for you. He's got a very specific plan for your life and for your ministry. And this is the ministry of Jesus we're talking about. Jesus knew what God was saying, what God was doing. He knew God's plans for him, not because he just read them somewhere, but because he saw them. He saw them. Now, he didn't see them because they had already happened. He saw them before they happened. The other places in the Bible, this is translated, the same word is translated the word perceive. He perceived something. He saw something. Now, when I think of this, for me, I know exactly what this is about. And I think many of you do too. Because in my life, I've learned that because the Holy Spirit lives in me and he dwells in me, I have access to the realm of the Spirit. I have access to knowledge that I can't get just from reading, that I can't get just from my own living. I have access to supernatural knowledge. And the way I access that is literally I see things inside me. Do y'all know what I'm talking about? It's an illumination that comes from the Holy Spirit. You've heard me talk about this many times. We taught it. Paul talked about it a lot. One of the things Paul prayed for his followers in Ephesians 1 is he prayed there. He prayed that the eyes of your understanding would be what? Enlightened. The Amplified says, flooded with light, that there would be an enlightenment. It's not just so that you would know, but so that you would see on the inside of you. He wants you to see something, not just to kind of know something, but see something. That there would be an understanding of it on the inside of you, and that there would be a way of accessing what God is showing you, and that you would start seeing some things. Now, when our kids were young, we homeschooled our kids until, in fact, the first one of our kids went to school was Maddie Sue, who's over here. Maddie Sue went to school in ninth grade. So up until that point, they were homeschooled or something like that. They were at home and they were supposed to be doing school. That's kind of what happened. But anyway, the way they learned math was this program I found somewhere called Mequon Math. And Mequon Math, the whole thing was using these, what is the name of the word? They were little tiny cubes. There's a word for it that I'm not thinking of, but they were cubes, and there was a little cube for one, and then there was a cube, it was a stick, for tens and like that, and you could build things. And so if you were going to add two and two, I didn't just say, Maddie Sue, 2 + 2 = 4, and she goes, okay, 2 + 2 = 4. No, what I did is I would get one cube and another cube, and I'd say, Maddie, how many cubes are there? And she'd go, 1, 2. And I'd say, okay, Maddie, now what we're going to do is add to those two cubes 2 more, and I'd pick out 2 more, 1, 2. So 2 and 2. And then I'd say, Maddie, if you take 2 and add 2 to 2, what do you get? And Maddie'd go, 1, 2, 3, 4. And she'd say, 4. That's how Maddie learned math. And she grew up, and she was a math major in college just because she learned through math. Because I did so good. But that's different than her just saying 2 + 2. Oh, that's 4. Yeah, that's 4. That's 4. Yeah. You understand? That's like just, but seeing it is different than just some kind of thing, you know, knowing. Now, see, here's where for many of us, spiritually, we have missed what God has for us, because we know 2 + 2 = 4. Oh, yeah, I know 2 + 2 = 4. I know these scriptures, and we can quote scriptures, but we've never actually seen it. And Jesus, somehow, he saw things. And it's interesting because this is the Last Supper. And later on, if we kept reading through John here, we would get to Jesus saying some really interesting things. This is when he starts talking about the Holy Spirit and the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And he really lays that out for us. And he says, look, the Holy Spirit's coming. I'm leaving, but I'm sending to you. I'm not leaving you alone. I'm sending the Holy Spirit to you. And he's going to do some things. He's going to lead you and guide you into all the truth. And he's going to do what? Show you things to come. It doesn't say he's just going to tell you things to come. It says he's going to show you things to come. And honestly, we remember and learn a lot more from seeing something than we do just hearing something. He's going to show you things to come. Well, how did Jesus know the Holy Spirit was going to show them things? Because Jesus had experienced the Holy Spirit showing him things. Now, you may be sitting here and you may be thinking, but Susie, this is Jesus, and Jesus just knew everything because he was Jesus. You know what I mean? He was God and all that. But I want to tell you, that can't be true. Because the scripture says that he emptied himself of who he was, first of all. But then the scripture also tells us that when Jesus was young, that he grew. He grew in wisdom and knowledge. Y'all remember that? And he grew in stature. And he grew in favor with God and man. If Jesus grew in wisdom and knowledge, then he couldn't have been operating as God stuffed in a body, because God can't grow in wisdom and God can't grow in knowledge, because one thing that makes God God is he knows everything. God can't grow in knowledge. So he wasn't here in a body just as God. He was here and he was limited. The Bible tells us this. He limited himself in every way that we're limited. And he was limited, but without sin. And he limited himself, so he had to grow. And Jesus had to grow into knowing who he was, his mission, God's plan for him. God did this through Jesus to show us how man is supposed to be. what God's plan is for us as people. We're because Adam messed it up, so God had to have an example of what man was supposed to be, what he wanted man to be, the second Adam, the one we're to follow, the example. And so here he is, and he somehow or another knew. He had seen something. Now, where do we think Jesus, and again, here's a bunch of references to this. Jesus said, I do nothing unless I see my Father doing it. Where did he see his Father doing it? He in the Word, he saw him do things. But Jesus did, like he said, now let me just say this. Jesus said, I do nothing unless I see my Father doing it. Where did he see him? Where did he see? He saw it in here. Yeah, I think he saw it in, I mean, he definitely saw things in the Word, but he saw something. He saw things. There's a very interesting, I'm not going to turn to all these references, but in John's account of the feeding of the 5,000, it tells where these 5,000 people are, or the people there are hungry, they've grown, you know, weary, and the disciples are saying, we need to send them away so they can get something to eat. And he said to them, you give them something to eat. Do you remember he said that to Philip? And it says, and the scripture says, he said that to test Philip. And then it has this very interesting little phrase. It says, for he knew what he was going to do. Jesus already knew what he was going to do. So here he is, he's sitting here, and they got this, all these people, and they're hungry, and Jesus is looking at these hungry people, and his disciples are saying, hey, we got to feed them, the disciples are saying, let's send them away so they can eat, and Jesus looks at Philip and says, Philip, why don't y'all give them something to eat? And Philip's like, well, what are we going to give them? But the Bible says Jesus, he said this to Philip, he was testing Philip, because he already knew. And it's that same word, knowing. He'd already seen before what he was going to do. And what he was testing Philip was, is to see what Philip had seen. Has Philip seen anything? Has Philip seen what's about to happen? Does Philip have any understanding? Has Philip perceived what might be about to happen here? Does Philip see what God can do to feed these people? Does Philip have any idea of the plan of God? Because, y'all, God's got a plan. Frank admonished us earlier. God will supply every need. All of God's promises are yes and amen. All those things flow by his power. All the things we read about in the scripture, they're all true. The problem is, they're true to us because we have knowledge of them in some way. Like, yes, those are them. But we don't really see them. And we sure don't see where we are and how we fit in them. But the difference between Philip that day in front of the 5,000 and Jesus that day, Philip, the only thing Philip could see is, we got to send them away. And what Jesus saw was, we can feed them. We're going to feed them. We're going to multiply what food there is here, and we're going to feed them. That's what Jesus saw. He saw something very different. Again, where did he see that? He saw it on the inside. He saw it by the Spirit. Y'all, we are so much more than flesh and blood. We are so much more than the limitations imposed on us by this physical realm. Y'all, we are born of God and we are Spirit. And the Spirit of God lives within us. And y'all, we are never going to walk in what God has for us. And you, as a believer in the ministry God has for you, you and God's plans and purposes, you got to see more than you see. Jesus saw something. He knew what God's plan was for him. He knew that his hour had come. How did he know? He saw it. For those years, he'd been walking the earth. And then here he is, the last 3.5 years of ministry, and he started seeing somewhere along the way, he started seeing it's getting closer. It's getting closer. He saw himself being raised up on a cross, crucified. That's why when he was in Gethsemane, he said, let this cup pass from me. He was seeing something he didn't want to do, but he was seeing it. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Does anybody getting anything about what I'm trying to say here tonight? He was seeing something on the inside. Now, I understand this because I've had times in my life, surely not every moment, surely not every day, but I've certainly had times in my life that I saw something. And I have to tell you, those moments are precious. And I'll tell you something else. I want a lot more of those moments. I want more of that in my life. I want to see more. I want to see how God's using me, what his plan is, what his purpose is. I want that. I want that light. I want the light to come on. Revelation, whatever you want to call it, that dawning within. I want to see. Now, a mentor of someone whose ministry has had a big impact on Matt and me, someone we knew, followed his ministry, heard him in many of his meetings, was Kenneth E. Hagin. Kenneth E. Hagin went home to be with the Lord, and it's been over 15 years ago now. But he's still teaching us, thank God, for videos and recordings. But one of the things, and I would say it this way, the thing about Kenneth Hagin's ministry that so attracted me and really hooked me in was his relationship with God and the way that he flowed with the Holy Spirit, that he saw things by the Spirit, that he knew things. No one that I know of and know of their ministry has had that kind of an ongoing flow in the revelation gifts, in prophecy. That's not a revelation gift. Discerning of spirits, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, revelation gifts. And then the other gifts of the Spirit, but particularly those, he would see things. And if you hear the testimonies and the stories that he tells, and those of you who've heard his ministry, heard him talk, he would often talk about how he would be shaving. He'd be standing at the mirror shaving, and suddenly he would see. And he would tell a story. He would see this thing about, he would see one of his church members, and they had gotten discouraged, and they had gotten off in, maybe they had, this one guy that he saw this about him several times, this guy had gotten mad on the job. He'd only been a believer for a few weeks, got mad on the job and cussed somebody out, and then he got condemned about it, and he thought, I'm not even a Christian if I'm using language like that. And so he crawled up in the bed and refused to get out of bed and knew God had damned him to hell or some kind of thing like this. And all of that just happened on the inside. He just saw that. And then he went down to the guy's house, and sure enough, that's what had happened. So he would tell these kinds of stories. He would see things. But then he would talk about how he would be in a service, and he'd be up, he would see himself before he ever went to the service. He would see himself, and there would be a row of wheelchairs, and he'd see himself point to somebody in a wheelchair, and they'd stand up and walk. And then he would go to the service, and when he got to the service, sure enough, there'd be a row of wheelchairs, and he'd see that person. And so he would just act out what he saw on the inside. And so I've heard many, 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 many stories along those lines. But he saw something on the inside, often as he prayed, often in response to praying, often in times of just spending time in God's presence. Maybe he was on his knees, maybe he wasn't, maybe he was shaving, but his heart was tuned into heaven, and he was listening, and he saw something. Now, y'all, if God would show that man things, and he would walk out those things, will he show you things? No. God just loved him a whole lot more than he loves you. He was just super special, and it was just this one, because that's what the Bible says. Every now and then there's going to be a super special somebody, and they're going to get a special something. He got a special something that you and me can't get. Is that right? No, that's not right. The truth is, the same Spirit lives within each of us. And we have access to so much more than we've ever tapped into. And what we see here is Jesus knew. He knew these things, and you start seeing it over and over. He would just know things. How did he know things? He knew things because he spent time with God. He spent time and developed the ability to listen, to see. He developed the skill, literally, of being able to see into the realm of the Spirit, to see what is and what is to come, to see what the Holy Spirit was showing him. I think you and me can sharpen that skill in our lives. And I think we can, not only can we need to, because I think so much, if you look at the ministry of Jesus, so much of his ministry flowed out of that. I think when he got to Lazarus's tomb, he knew exactly what he was going to do. I think he'd seen what he was going to do. You know, there's a record of a time he's out and about in the streets, and there was a funeral going on, and there was a young man who was being carried dead through the streets, and Jesus went over and raised the young man from the dead and said, you know, mother, here's your son, and son, here's your mother. I think that Jesus had seen that. I don't think that was the only funeral he ever saw, but something about that procession, when he saw that going by, I think he somewhere he's like, oh, okay. And this caught his attention, and he saw something there. He said, okay, yeah, I'm seeing this. Now, many times, Matt's told me, you probably don't know this because he doesn't tell you, but many times he's told me after a service of something he did during a service, and I'll question him about it, and he'll say, yeah, when I was praying last night, I saw myself doing that. And he would have done something, and he said, I saw myself doing that. And there's certainly been many times where I've done things as a result of I saw myself doing it before. So it may be like that, just saw it and knew it. Y'all, there's so much more available here for us. But maybe it's just as simple as just that seeing on the inside, just a divine sight of, hey, the season's changing, my time has come, this is happening, there's something going on, and you're just seeing things on the inside. And y'all, it might come as a flash, but it might just come sort of kind of fade in. And for me, there are a lot of times in my life it just kind of fades in. I'll just get an inkling of something, and then it'll kind of, over time, if I continue to pray and just let the Holy Spirit just listen and spend time in his presence and worship him and just keep my mind stayed on him, it'll start to fill in, and I'll start seeing more and more and more of the picture he has for me. He leads us and guides us into his plans by showing us things. And when he shows you something, then you know it. You'll see it, and then you know it. So this is big for us, and it's big for you this year. It's big for you today. It's big for you as you pursue your ministry as a believer. If you want God to work through you, I tell you, this is real Spirit-led ministry. It's not just walking up to every person and be healed in Jesus' name and, you know, God so loved the world and, you know, you need to get saved. It's not like that. Spirit-led ministry that's effective, that we see with Jesus. Jesus didn't minister to every person that walked by. Jesus didn't heal every sick person he encountered. Now, there were times that he did heal the whole crowd, but not every single person that ever came across his path was healed. And even Peter, for some reason at the gate called Beautiful, that day, Peter said to that guy, "What? Yeah, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk." I think Peter saw it. Somewhere in there, he saw something. I don't know if that morning during prayer, he thought, every day I walk into the temple by that guy and I throw him a quarter. What in the world am I doing? And he saw himself picking the guy up by the hand. I don't know. But there's something inside. And not only that, you've got to see yourself doing this. You've got to see yourself laying hands on the sick. You've got to see yourself encouraging, exhorting, comforting. You've got to see yourself having a word of wit. You've got to see yourself flowing before you'll ever do it. You've got to see yourself. You've got to see yourself making disciples before you make disciples. You got to see it. And the only way we're going to see it is to spend time in the Word and spend time with Him and let Him show us. So this is why we're having 21 days of prayer. Because he shows us things as we pray. All right. So you got that? Because I could take 10 more minutes. We could just talk about that. And I wouldn't even tell you the second thing. Maybe I won't. Maybe I'll just wait for the second thing for next week. I think I will. Seeing. You want him to show you. He shows us on the inside. Y'all, just as we have, our natural bodies are actually a reflection of our spirit bodies. The Bible says that God made Adam in his image and in his likeness. God is a spirit. God doesn't have a body. God is a spirit. And he made man in his image and likeness. And man had two eyes, a nose, a mouth, two hands, two ears, two legs. Didn't he? But he was made in God's image. So even though God doesn't have a body, somehow or another in his image he's made, there are these parts. So if God is a spirit and then we're born again of his spirit and he's our father, in the spirit we look like him. So in the spirit we have ears and we have eyes and we have mouths and we have arms and legs in the spirit. Y'all, some of us, we need to get some, maybe some glasses for our spirit. I don't know. What do we need to do? We need to learn to use our spiritual eyes so we can see. In fact, the Bible says that the God, little g, God of this world, what does he do? What is his tactic in the earth? He blinds people whose eyes he has blinded. Y'all heard of this before? That's really what the enemy's work is against people in the earth, is he blinds them. If we could see people that have not yet received Jesus, you would see they actually have scales over their eyes, or I don't know, maybe there's a little impish devil holding their, I don't know, but they're blinded. They don't see. I've talked to people before who don't believe in God. I remember I talked to one man, he said, I really wish I did, I just don't. The reason he didn't is because he couldn't see. But once you see, you believe. That's what happened, you know. It's what's happened to a lot of you. You didn't see, but then you saw. That's what Tom's saying. There was a time you didn't see, and then you saw. And then when you saw, you didn't believe just because somebody told you. You knew. Once you see, you know. When you see, you know. And you don't just know because, oh yeah, Eddie told me. No, I saw it. And what is a witness? A witness is somebody that's seen something. You know? You get called in on a case to be a murder, you know, to be a witness. They call you in because you've seen something. In fact, they won't even let you give evidence that you say, well, I know Benny, and this is what Benny told me. No, they say, no, that's hearsay, inadmissible. What did you see? Well, I know what I saw. I know this because I saw it. And I believe we need a lot more people that know because they saw it, not because they heard it from Benny. You know what I mean? That's, I think, one reason Christians are ineffective is, well, it's like Brother So-and-so says. It's like I heard her say. Y'all, what do you know? What have you seen? One of the things we're going to talk about in the days and weeks to come is you sharing your story with people. It's so powerful for you to bear witness and for you to share what's happened to you. But y'all, there's a lot more for us to see. And it seems to me that our culture, our society, the world that we live in has gotten so effective in drawing our attention that we spend most of our time using these eyes. We spend most of our time using these ears. And we're enticed by this natural world, which the Bible says is temporary, subject to change, passing away. Not only that, most of what we see is not even true. And so here we are absorbed by these eyes, but the eyes that see the truth, that receive light from on high, we don't even pay attention to it. We don't ever still our minds and unhook from this and on purpose tune in. What are you saying? Where are you going? What are you showing me? But unlike the bright flashing neon signs of this world, this is a little, well, the prophet said it's a still small voice. It's also kind of a quiet, maybe a little obscure, dim light at times. Now, there have been moments where it was like a whoop, 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 but most of the time it's not that way. Most of the time I could miss it. Many times, unless I, on purpose, slow down and tune this out, I'll miss this. God speaks to us spirit to spirit. The Bible says that the spirit of a man is the candle of the Lord or the lamp of the Lord. Not the neon spotlight, you know, neon sign, big spotlight. It's the lamp of the Lord. There'll be a lamp in here. There's a light he flips on in here. It doesn't have the blue light, you know, of our phones or the TV screen. So it can sometimes, you know, our minds are so mesmerized by those screens that we can't, you know. What's going on in here? It's a flame. It's a lamp. And we have to quiet ourselves and quiet, a lot of times, turn off this stuff out here just so we can get quiet and tune into what's going on in here. That's really hard and challenging in the world we live in. Very difficult. It takes discipline to do it, honestly. Because there's so much competing. You know, there's noise and other people and activities and everything, you know. It's all everything. We have one of these, what do you call it? Amazon Alexa. You know these, you know what I'm talking about? One of these things. And I'll just be like, minding my own business talking, and suddenly she starts talking to me because she thinks I called on her. Her name is Alexa, and she thinks that's kind of scary. She just starts talking. She, like, if I don't talk to her, she'll start talking to me. I'm just like, is that what we're coming to? Is that where we're going, that we don't even call on them? They just wake us up and then they just talk to us all day. I got a machine talking to me, and I'm like, just shut up. I wasn't talking to you. I think this is what's happening in the world. Anything to get our attention off of the truth, the life, the way. We just sang that. That's inside. It's where he is. And that's where Jesus saw his life before it happened. He saw it in here. And I believe that's the way we're meant to live. I believe that before you live this week, before you live tomorrow, that you can see what you need to see about tomorrow in here. That's what he promised us. He said that the Holy Spirit within us would lead us and guide us into all the truth, and he would show us things to come. Now, does that mean, you know, he's going to show you every single iota of everything? I don't think so. But I think he'll show us what's necessary. The things that he's concerned with. The things that matter. What are vital. He'll show them to us. Not only will he show them to us, he's been showing them to us. We just haven't opened our eyes to see them. We haven't tuned in. It's not like we're saying, God, will you show us? Really, you know, help us to listen. Help us to see. Help us to open our eyes. Does anybody know anything I'm talking about? Am I the only person here that knows what I'm talking about? Do you know what I'm talking about? It's a good word for you. If you don't know what I'm talking about, I pray that you see it. Hallelujah. Let's stand here. I guess we'll get to the other part another night next week. It was good, too. It's really good. Praise the Lord. Why don't you just, when you're just right there, why don't you just whisper to the Lord for a moment? Do you want to see more? You want to see more? You want to see what he has for you? Sunday, at the end of the service, my last what if was, what if we went all in? What if we went all in? What if we actually heard from him? What if we actually saw what he was showing us? What if? What if we saw what he sees? What if we knew what no man could know except by the Spirit? That's the way we are meant to live. And that's the way ministry, Bible ministry, happens. We see and we follow. We do what the Father shows us. He shows us and then we do it. But that only happens if we're looking. It only happens through a divine connection with him. It only happens if our eyes are open. Father, we pray tonight for ourselves and we pray for our congregation. Father, we pray that you would help us all to see. We know that it's not careful techniques. It's not some strategy of man. It's not some clever words that will bring in a great harvest. Father, it's not some trick. It's not some, you know, rote, learned conversation that we're going to have with people that's going to transform lives. Father, the transformation that we saw in the ministry of Jesus and that we saw through the early church happened by the power of the Spirit. And Father, we pray that we would be able to see like they saw. And so we ask you, teach us how to see. Help us to see. Teach us how to see. What is it that I personally, Father, how you show me, help me to see. Hallelujah. I ask you this in the name of Jesus. Amen.